everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few. Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark Zeno's in for Mike today. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, hope you had a great weekend. You have come in re-energized, recharged today.
Yeah.
From Friday when I left you at the end of the show and you were going,
yeah,
no.
You want to know what the difference was?
What?
I worked out after the show on Friday. I worked out before the show.
Well,
today.
Okay, so that's why you got the energy?
A lot of adrenaline.
Does that really
a lot of
work?
Endorphins.
Did you work out in the morning versus the evening? Because does it keep you up from sleeping?
It'll give you more. Yes. You got to make sure you eat right so you don't crash afterwards. But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically working out.
In the evening.
In the evening. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you were to work out after the show, you'd be up later.
Cause everybody always says it. Oh, you got to work out in the morning. It's better for you. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, that's the thing. You get up and if you don't do it early for me, if I don't do it super early, then it's not happening.
You know what the morning is meant for? Cardio and golf. That's it.
I would go golf then cardio.
Okay. Yeah.
That would be
one of those two items. Yeah.
I would agree. All right. Listen, we got a lot to chop up. And the NFL season is right around the corner. I mean, literally now. We've been talking about this for weeks. This is your home. I'm talking about 92.9 The Game. This is your exclusive home for Atlanta Falcons training camp, for Atlanta Falcons football, for the regular season, and what I expect to be the playoffs. You're not going to get more coverage, more insight, more interviews than you're going to get right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And that starts Wednesday, all right? The morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, live at Falcons training camp. We will be at Hooters Mall of Georgia. It is our Taj Mahal Hooters, we call it. And we'll be up there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, giving you everything you need. So I'm just telling you right now, like you're like, man, what's going on with the Falcons? You need to be here every day, listening all the time, because that's what's going to be going on. Now, before
Taj Mahal Hooters?
It's beautiful. It really is. There's windows everywhere. It's open.
Physically the place.
Yes,
okay.
Correct. Yeah,
all
yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's great. It's one of the better built Hooters, physically built Hooters. That's the right phrase. But it's beautiful, man. No, there's windows. It's open, and it's a great bar. So, like, the bar goes around. It's wonderful. All right, we'll be up there on Wednesday. What do we do, Braves fans? Braves country, what's going on? Less than 7 hours after announcing that Max Fried was on the 15-day DL, all right, forearm issue, and that doesn't look as bad. Ozzie walks off the field with a fractured left wrist yesterday. We now know he's going to be done for 8 weeks, okay? That may mean he's coming back at the end of the season. It might not mean that. Maybe he's available for the playoffs. We don't know. But now you add this to what has already happened with Money Harris on his way back, Strider out, Acuna out, and this team losing 2 of 3, right, to the Cards. Okay, so where are we at and what are we doing, Zeno? Because I said to you last week, I wasn't going to do anything. And a lot of people said, oh, you're crazy. You got to still make a move. You need this. You need that. Here's where I'm at, guys. You do not give up assets, and you do not trade and take on money if you feel like you're trying to fill the void at all these positions and trying to do everything. You can't do it.
Okay, so here you just hit on it. Like, one, I'll say this. I was with you on Friday, don't do a thing. Now I'm just don't do a damn thing. But your point is this, and here's the thing. You can't get better in multiple areas at the deadline. It's just not possible. There's not enough moves you can make. Let me rephrase that. It's really, 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 really hard.
It's hard
to do that, right? You have to make 3 or 4 moves at the deadline of significance to get better in all these holes. You need another starter. You need another infielder. You need another outfielder. Like, why not grab another reliever while you're at it? Because there's never enough of those. Like, How can you fill all the – it's so hard to find so many dance partners to do that with at the deadline without giving away major assets. And that's really obviously what the Braves don't want to do. They don't have a farm system to give away assets with. So you're not going to give away one of the starting nine.
No.
The guys who are hurt are hurt. They're all coming – so it really is a rock and a hard place here for the Braves. I mean, pray, hope they get hot in October and everybody clicks at the right time. That's probably your best course of action right now. You got to ride this thing out, man. This is not – a spot where you're going to see significant improvement. Does that mean they do nothing? No, I don't think they do nothing, but everything's on the periphery, right? Is there another bullpen arm we can get out there for cash or whatever, or, you know, whatever it may be? Sure. I think you look to do that. Is there another plus, you know, outfielder who, whatever, has a high on BP or fits well in the lineup, is another left-handed bat if that's what they need, like one of those things, a better platoon maybe with Kelenic if he starts to tail off a little more, something like that, like, those are the kind of moves I think you see made. There's nothing of consequence that can be done.
You can't spend the kind of money you need right now. Not only that, but also to your point about availability
right.
of the players that may be there to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to wait it out. I think that's what we have to do. And you may say, oh, that's crazy. We're going to lose ground. We're not going to be this. We're not going to be that.
No, you're going to make the playoffs.
You're going to be okay.
There's
we just have to wait it out.
There's six teams that are better than you.
Well, that's the thing. Even under these circumstances. And so today, right, we find out Jeff Passan reported about 4 hours ago that super utility man Whit Merrifield is going to join the Braves. At least he's in agreement on a major league deal. Guys, he's 35. He's a utility guy. Was recently released by the Phillies. But he'll join the Braves today. And he provides some depth to what's going on with your infield. Now, the other part of this is Nacho is being called up. Nacho Alvarez, and we spent a lot of time on this show. Mike's been talking about it for weeks now. I want to see Nacho. I want to see Nacho. Well, you're going to get a chance to see Nacho because Ozzie broke his wrist and the Braves' top infield prospect gets a call up. Okay, so you fix one of those things, or at least you hope. You fill the void. You go get a utility guy. He can help you in multiple places. You call up Nacho. Hopefully he continues to hit. And we wait out the injury of Ozzie. We see when Freed's coming back. We got to wait until Money Harris gets going again. And we just have to be patient. And the thing is, you know, most people, Braves country, is not patient.
I sure do like Nacho's cotton. I mean, yeah, I'm excited for that. But I'm with you. There's no reason to be patient because of the expectation level is basically get to the NLCS of the World Series and, you know, then flip a coin. Like, that's the expectation level of this ball club. I won't say it's World Series or bust. I don't, you know, there's probably a thin line between that and where they are. But regardless, yeah, everybody wants another title, as they should. One is not enough. So I'm with you on all that. I just don't know what the viability is that something gets done. And I think in certain spots, Alex has got to think about long-term over short-term. And right now, long-term is hold what we have and let's reassess the roster next spring and hope something magical can happen this fall. Again, is there another Eddie Rosario out there somewhere that they could acquire? Probably. Now, will he turn into that in October? Nobody has any clue.
Nobody knows.
Is there another Jorge Soler out there, a guy who's either going to strike out or hit a 700-foot home run? Yeah, there's probably a guy out there that can do that for you. But again, no one knows if that's going to compute to what happens in October. So, and remember, too, the other thing, that October, you also had pieces that were playing at a high level. You had Freddie, you had Dansby, you had, like, all these things that were different. Right now, the bigger issue and the more glaring issue, the only reason we're sitting here pressing for a move is because the guys in the lineup every night are not producing.
Oh, you mean Olsen?
Yeah, that guy.
You mean Riley?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
You mean Ozzie wasn't hitting to this point.
Well, the power numbers have not been there, and you're absolutely right. By the way, if you're curious, Nacho is the Braves' number 8 prospect. He's hitting .336 with 7 home runs, 6 doubles, 24 RBI, and 28 games in Gwinnett. If you're curious, and I know you are, because you want to see what the deal is and what the hype is around this young man, we're going to get a chance to see it. All I'm telling you is, and they'll start a new series tonight, Grant's going to stop by a little bit later on, I just feel like we have to be patient, and it's something that we're just not good at, especially when our team's been as good as it's been over the last 5 years, 6 years, winning this division. Zeno, I just feel like we are right now feeling a little bit of the pressure that this thing might collapse. That's how people feel. Because you go, well, how many injuries can you sustain without having some kind of fall off on top of your guys who should be hitting, who are not hitting?
Right. This is a much easier problem to solve if what was produced last year from these names is produced again. I mean, Sean Murphy had a 900 OPS last year.
Right.
Your seven hitter, your catcher had a 900 OPS. Like, that doesn't happen all that often. So if you have guys in the lineup who are producing, the view of this thing totally changes. And that's why I'm more and more with you here, Dukes. Like, don't do anything. Because if these guys are right next year...
You're right back in it.
You're back in it. But some people, what's wrong with having more? Because you're not going to get more for what you without giving away something of value now. And if you want to be a World Series contender every year, what you have constructed when healthy with the players that are there is the best reason. Your biggest fear? You got Ronald Acuna off two ACLs and Spencer Strider off two UCLs. There's a lot of CLs there, and that don't stand for Coors Light.
It does not, and there are no guarantees they're going to be back to themselves. 404-726-0929. We're going to take some of your phone calls here on the show because I think there's a little bit of panic setting in. Like, trade deadline may come and go, and I'm telling you right now, they may do jack. And you're going to be like, what? Why? Why didn't they do anything?
I would tell you, it's not because Alex isn't going to try.
Correct.
It's just, you know, most GMs look at the Braves right now and go, they're over a barrel. If they're calling, let's leverage hard here and see what we can get for them.
And that's why you don't do anything. That's an emotional move.
That's what cold in business. Cold.
You cannot do that. All right, we're coming back. 404-726-0929. Braves Nation, how you feeling? We want to talk to you. Things just got a whole lot more interesting. What do you do? All right, we'll talk to you coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Mark Zeno's in for Mike today. We're getting ready for Falcons training camp. Also, we're getting ready for Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, rambling wreck! They get ready to play Florida State week 0. And we're hoping to catch up with Brent Key.
That is a hell of a first week contest.
Yeah, and I like Georgia Tech, by the way.
I mean, put it this way. If you're Georgia Tech, that's probably the best week to catch Florida State, right?
I agree.
I mean, you have literally a month to prepare. You have a month to install. In theory, you should be able to give them your best, healthiest attempt at beating them, right? So, is that game neutral site or is it down in
Dublin?
Oh.
It's in Dublin.
It's across the pond, eh?
Yeah. Florida State, Georgia Tech, noon ESPN. That's August 24th, by the way. But there are other games. I mean, listen, call me a degenerate. Delaware State, Hawaii plays that day. Mm-hmm. Montana State, New Mexico also plays that day. And SMU, the new SMU in the ACC plays.
Where is that Montana State game?
Degenerate. It's in New Mexico.
I'd like to know what the number is.
It's Albuquerque.
But the Grizz are good.
Is 7.5 is what the number is. Montana State.
Getting or laying?
They are getting. Yes. Getting 7.5.
That's going to be interesting.
Here's the deal. SMU and Nevada, but there are other games. But the big game that day is Florida State, Georgia Tech. Right. So I'm looking forward. I think Georgia Tech is going to surprise some people this year. And I'm not saying that simply because we like Brent Key. We've said this to you guys. We do. We think he's the right guy for the job. But you come off that win. Think about this. And then you get Georgia State. Okay, and we'll ask Coach about this if we get a chance to talk to him today. We're looking to try to track him down. Syracuse, new coach. You've got 1, 2, 3. Like, your first four games are very winnable.
Here's the problem.
What?
you got a dog schedule. Like, your four home games. Duke, yeah. Winnable.
Right.
Your Notre Dame home game got neutral-sided. Okay, going to be a tough contest. And your home game's against Miami and NC State, probably the two other best teams.
In the ACC.
Other than Clemson. So
yeah.
You played the hardest teams at home, and going on the road to winning is really tough. I mean, Virginia Tech is not going down to Lane Stadium is always a tough. And Virginia Tech's going to surprise some people this year. I told you that.
Yeah.
They're going over their win total.
What is it again? You thought it was 7? Is it 7?
No, it's like, I think it's 6.5.
Okay.
Or 5.5. I think they're just scheduled to make a bowl game. Yeah, but anyway.
But listen, going to Virginia Tech, we know, is a hard place to play.
Playing stadium's insane. You ever been down there?
Yes, it's nuts.
I love it.
It's nuts.
When they play Enter Sandman and the whole place goes bonkers.
This place is shaking. The whole stadium. Listen, the environment has never been the question. It's the consistency of winning. But you're saying this year that you think they're going to be good. I have not looked at Virginia Tech enough to tell you one way or the other. ACC Media Days are getting underway, and we're going to get a feel for what's going on this week.
Kieran Drones, however you say it, their quarterback, look out. This kid's going to make some noise this year. He's going to make a lot of noise. He is, we always want to put Michael Vick when it comes, but he's got that same mobility. Mm. He's an accurate passer. He's got I've watched this kid. Played on him a lot last year. Kieran Drones is the real deal. He's going to start to make some noise.
We're going to see. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to Brent Key coming up. It is Dukes and Bell. As we talk about what happened over the weekend with the Braves, a lot of you guys hitting us up.
I'm just saying, how do you feel? Do you feel like, okay, what else can happen? It's almost one of those things where, you know, when stuff starts to go wrong, right, you go, what else can go wrong? Well, this weekend is what can go wrong. We're freed now on the 15-day IL. Again, I don't think that's as serious in the way they're talking about it. With the forearm, I think he'll be back, and it's not going to be as big of a deal. The Aussie thing is big. 8 weeks, fractured left wrist. And I heard yesterday, as I was watching the game, maybe it was after the game, it had to be after the game, where I heard Darno basically say, I could have made a better throw. And I'm like, really, Travis? Don't blame yourself. Freak things happen. And if you watch the replay where his hand was and his wrist, it's just one of those freak plays. Nobody's at fault. But right. It's something else that the Braves are having to deal with right now.
Yeah, again, it's a cavalcade here of bad news. And utility infielders and guys being called up aside, it's not much to get excited about right now. And that's the tough part, because this team is supposed to be really exciting. They're supposed to be a team that's, you know, we think is a legitimate World Series contender. I just don't know if I get that feeling at this point in time. Could change. Still a lot of baseball left. Still got all August and September, and a lot of strange things have happened in the final 30, 45 days of a season. So it's not out of the possibility that they can get hot and make a serious run, but this doesn't look like it's their division this year.
No doubt. Phillies have been the best team, in my opinion, all season long. Let's hear Snit talk about Fried's response as he goes on the IL. This is Brian Snicker, our manager.
You know, it's obviously it scares you, alarms you, you know. So, and I said that's why he wanted to get in front of it and make sure it wasn't any, you know, anything big. But, you know, it's enough that they want to shut him down for a time. And I say once he's asymptomatic, then he'll start throwing again. And hopefully that's sooner than later.
Hopefully it is. What about Albie, Snit? Tell me about this injury.
It's not good. You know, they just don't. I guess right now they don't know exactly what they're going to do. But, you know, I mean, he'll obviously go on the IL. And I didn't even ask. I just came from my office into here. So, I mean, they'll have a full everything probably this evening is what procedures and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was right after the game. By the way, headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. And, of course, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. I'll say this, too, about the Braves. With all of this adversity that we're going through, right, and we haven't had this in a few years where we've had to go through, you know, you've made moves because you felt like you needed to make the team better, not because you were injured and beat up. Going through all of this, and if you're able to come out of it, again, expect Fried back, Harris back, right? We hope to get Ozzie back. If you get out of this, you know, and you get hot, your goals are still in front of you. And that is why you don't sacrifice right. The future with trying to make a move with not having, you know, a place to really have, you know, a guy to put him next year. When we talk about this outfield, and I said this, Kelnick, Acuna's coming back, and Harris. You go get another outfielder, you can tell me all you want. I said I think they're going to pick the option up of Ozuna because it's cheaper. We debated that last week, but the idea is, okay, you're going to go spend money on an outfielder. Where's this guy playing? So then that means it has to be an expiring contract. And then that gets back to what you were saying, which is every general manager right now is like, waiting on that call from the Braves because they're trying to fleece you. So there's no reason to panic. There's no reason to get emotional from the standpoint of we've got to do something because I know a lot of people are. I just don't think that's the way we need to go right now. And I know the countdown is on with the trade deadline. I just think we got to get through this. And I do want to see what Nacho Alvarez does, man. What if Alvarez comes up here and balls out? What if all of a sudden you've got to, I mean, you just found another guy?
There's a decent track record for Braves prospects coming up and balling out.
Yes.
So, you know, you hope that that's going to be the case. But, you know, the point simply being that would be a welcome sight because nobody else is doing it. Maybe it can energize other people. You know, Vaughn Grissom did it for long enough to make an impact, right? And then he didn't do it and they got rid of him. So they need something. They need some sort of jump start, something that will get them going, a shot in the arm, whatever it may be. And once they get that, they could theoretically be in good position.
All right, guys, the other thing that happened over the weekend, what a year for Xander Schauffele. I mean, my goodness, two majors.
Listen, can I tell you something? He's the golfer of the year.
Well, you're going to put him over Scotty?
I mean, the problem is this.
What's going on with Scotty Scheffler?
Okay, like, Scotty has six wins,
yes,
right?
Yes.
In total. Schauffele, I think, has three, and I think he has eight top 10 finishes.
He's been great this year.
He's like, I told everybody this. The best bet you can make in golf for every tournament, Xander Schauffele top 10. You'll probably get minus 110 on it, and the guy is always in contention. It's rare that he's not.
It's true.
I mean, it's just, he is, if Scottie Scheffler isn't here, we're talking about him as the best golfer in the world.
What's going on with Scottie Scheffler?
Right? Like, if Scottie's not even having half the year that he has,
yeah,
where he only has one major, right? And he only has, like, you know,
can I tell you
four
something?
Tournament wins.
Can I tell you something? If Scottie didn't go to the clink, he was going to win that tournament, too. If Scottie didn't get arrested that morning over that BS.
Still shot 66 that day.
That's what I'm saying.
But he still shot. It was the next two rounds after that.
He was mentally spent. He was mentally spent.
Nobody knows what it really did to him. He's just having a baby and everything else.
If Scottie doesn't get locked up, I'm telling you, he wins that tournament too.
You know what happened is that that Louisville PD officer had a little couple of shekels on some other guys there. He was making sure Scottie wasn't going to win that thing.
I know. But let me hear Xander Schauffele. By the way, he shot a final round 65. He has the PGA Championship and the British Championship this year. An incredible year. I love seeing it. Dude, his dad was in tears. Like, he comes off of 18, and you're just like, man, this is what it's about. This is Xander Schauffele.
Oh, man. Thank you, everybody. Just want to go through a few thank yous. I'd like to thank my entire family, my team, everyone on my team. They know who they are. It's been quite a journey. I feel very honored hearing your name called with Open Champion right after. Is it something I've dreamt of for a very long time?
They're so proper. Yes, we love you. I'll tell you somebody right now that's struggling, and I don't know if he ever gets. Listen, we talk about Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse for Rory. Zero. He's playing on two good legs, a good back, hasn't had surgeries. There's zero excuse.
Well, there's one valid excuse.
What?
He hasn't recovered from blowing the PGA Championship the way he did. Like, you know.
Sometimes you never recover.
Yeah. I mean, just mentally, that takes it out of you, man. Might take a little while. For the game of golf, I think that's kind of the only valid one, right? Whereas, you know, football and other team sports, other guys can help you overcome
yes,
some of those.
Yes, you can, but you're by yourself. No,
when it's just you and the ball and the club, it's a different mentality and level of pressure. There's nobody else who could take that off of you.
Here's Rory talking about it was another disappointment.
I think I just have to remind myself that I am close, and, you know, you just have to keep giving yourself chances. And, you know, I said in the U.S. Open last year, I'd go through 100 Sundays to get my hands on another major. And, you know, these disappointing Sundays are racking up. But I'd much rather have disappointing Sundays than be going home on a Friday night.
Okay. All right. I don't know. We'll
Again, in fairness to him, there were a lot of guys who were double digits over.
Oh, everybody. I mean, yeah, a lot of guys.
There were a lot of really good golfers who had a bad first 2 days at Royal Troon. So I don't want to make too much of it. But you know what's interesting now is what happens next month here at East Lake in Atlanta. Because you're going to have
new layout,
Scottie, and you're going to have Xander.
Did you say Scottie?
1-2 going into this thing.
What's going on with Scottie Scheffler?
Remember, who also is going to be somewhere near the top of the leaderboard, and that's that guy Rory who's won this thing a couple of times before.
True. Are you now going to go there and say Rory's going to come and win at East Lake?
Would it shock you?
Yes.
Why?
Because he doesn't win.
He's done it plenty of times. He's won, two of the last 3 years? How often is
you don't
now
going to
look?
You're
won it last year.
You're like, he's won. He's won. When did he
Rory,
win? Oh, he's won.
FedEx.
Rory's not winning at East Lake. Rory's not winning at East
Lake.
He's
the only person who won FedEx three times.
Yeah. All right. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. My money's on Schauffele and Scottie.
Yeah. By the way, Schauffele is incredible at East Lake. That course plays so well to his game. It's scary.
Well, we haven't seen the new layout. Remember, they changed it. They tore the whole course up. It's going to have a completely new look.
They still have that, like, 300-yard par 3 on 16?
I do not know. As a matter of fact,
that's the most daunting thing I've ever seen.
I think next week is supposed to be some kind of...
You've been there, right?
Of course.
Have you ever golfed East Lake?
Absolutely. Okay. We do it every year. Well, yeah. Except this year, because they redid the course.
Okay, so... The first year I was here at 92.9, when I first moved here, Warwick Dunn's golf tournament, I got a chance to golf in it.
Yeah. Warwick lives over there.
Yeah, he lives right over there. And that 16, we were playing not from the championship tees, and they were explaining, you know, you're shooting this. 16 is basically all over water, right? It's that par 3 that's all over water. It's almost as intimidating as the Island Green on 17 down in Jacksonville at TPC. And they turn around. The guys where I was playing with said, yeah, you know, for the tournament, for the Choice Championship, the guys hit from back there. I go, where? There's just a huge bush. I don't see anything. He's like, no, you got to drive around there. He's like, after we hit, we'll take. He took me there, and I'm looking. I'm like, dude.
It's incredible.
It's the Atlantic Ocean between here and the green.
I know. How like, far they
what,
hit the
what
ball,
do I do,
man?
Take a driver on this hole and hope to get it on? This isn't golden tee.
It's and they hit it right where they want.
Yeah.
No, I can't wait. But I'm not going with Rory. By the way, when we come back, you've got an issue with one thing when it comes to our Falcons. Camp starts Wednesday. We will be there, guys. Your exclusive radio station to cover the Atlanta Falcons and all things training camp all season long is right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, this hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season. Coming up, he says, I'm not going to play until I got a new deal. And you won't believe what John Harbaugh said. That's on the way in our NFL Blitz. But first, with the Falcons starting camp on Wednesday, you said to me that you actually had an issue with something that you hope doesn't play out. And I said, okay, well, what is that? Because I really don't have any issues at this point, except the fact that I want to see some of the guys we've been talking about, specifically on the defensive side, which we'll get a chance to do. And we will be your eyes and ears, guys. We'll bring you inside of Falcons training camp. Remember, this year, fans are not allowed to be there simply because of the construction and things that are going on. So we will be bringing you the latest interviews and all of the things here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What is your issue?
Well, it's not an issue per se, but it's just a trend. You know, I mean, look, I was out at all the OTAs and minicamp and everything else. And Dukes, you know me. I mean, I when it comes to pressing, you know, coaches and athletes for answers.
You go all in.
I don't hold back. So, and I say all that just to say that, like, I'm not afraid to press Raheem on things that he talks about. You know, and there's not really anything to talk about during OTAs and minicamp because nothing's really happening. But he kept regurgitating his same theme throughout every single time I had a chance to get in front of him. And that was about the mental part of the game, right? Because you can't hit during OTAs. There's not a lot of physicality. There's, you know, all this stuff is. So he kept preaching the mental game, the mental game. He talked so much about how guys were picking up the mental game and how much it mattered and everything else. If we come out at camp and I start hearing coaches talk about guys not being focused, that they're not picking things up, that, you know, That rookies and younger players or whatever were a new system for some of the veteran guys. Because remember, you got a new offensive system. You got a new defensive system. You got two new coordinators. So if you hear that, to me, that sets off an alarm bell. Like, you can't continue to preach about being mentally ready and then at all this time not have your guys mentally ready to play.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you saying you expect zero mistakes?
No, I don't expect zero mistakes. What I expect is a certain level of efficiency and crispness and you know, the coach to be sitting there lauding these guys for being well-prepared, right? Every football coach, and this goes back, you know, Dan Quinn always emphasized this, but every football coach tells you, you're going to make a mistake, make it fast, right? if you're gonna do something wrong physically, do it fast, do it hard,
yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
Go, you know? We can fix the – where it's a lot easier for us to fix the, hey, you were in the wrong spot for this assignment than it is to – you got no heart, kid. Okay, you're not going full bore. We need you to go full bore. So, I look at it from that standpoint. Guys are going to make mistakes, but the preparation level, and given the experience of Raheem as a coach in general, and the staff that he's put together, feels like. And again, I say they have very little margin for error with me because this was set up. You know, in my opinion, it was taken away from Arthur Smith and given to him in a position that was optimal.
Wait a minute.
Very optimal.
Taken away.
It's taken away. I don't want to go back on that hill. I'm the only person left there.
Obviously. I mean, listen. Do I feel like if Arthur had a quarterback that he'd still be here?
Of course.
I do.
Even Raheem said that.
He did. But
that's a convenient narrative.
but we're not there. We'll see you week one, Art. We're not there. Like, I get how you could have a legitimate argument about whether he should have gotten another year. But I also understand that this offense was abysmal. The things that sold this team, and certainly Arthur Smith or Arthur Blank on why to hire Arthur Smith, were not playing out. It's not like we weren't competitive. Zeno, you know this. We were in game.
Yes.
But the way that it felt was blah. I had no issues at the end of the day when the news hit that Arthur was not going to be here any longer. Did it suck? Yes. But you shouldn't die on that hill. Because, listen, This thing was not handed over to Raheem. He earned the opportunity.
I'm already dead on that hill multiple times over.
He earned the opportunity.
I'm not saying Raheem didn't earn it. Anyway, so my point is that.
And are you saying, was he set up for success?
Yes. More than any other. This job more than was many other head coaches ever get this to job be was set attractive. Up like this.
Yes.
I mean, you signed a high-level top 10 quarterback, which, again, never happens. Drafted another one. But anyway, so.
What's wrong about thinking about the future?
Oh, God, I don't want to have this argument again.
There's nothing wrong about thinking about the future.
I slipped. I shouldn't have said it.
Give me the money you're putting in your 401k and give it to me. And don't think about the future.
I take it back.
No. Just live off your paycheck and give me the money you're putting in your 401k. I'll take it and use it.
I work in radio. There is no 401k.
Because you know what? You're not thinking about what this is going to be, what it's going to be for you in 10 or 15 years. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with what the Falcons did thinking about the future. So over this conversation
first
about
round,
first Michael
First round picks
Penix.
Are not the future. They're now. First round picks are now.
Was Jordan first, Love now?
First round picks
Speaking
are
now. Of Mr. Jordan Love, you want to go, was Jordan Love now? He had to wait, and he's great, and now Hold he's on. Asking to
not
be paid.
Not the same thing. They traded back into the first
was
round to
Mahomes
get him after
now?
They already took.
Was
they,
Mahomes
after they already
now?
Took, yes.
No, because, he wasn't.
Yes,
he had
was.
To wait.
No, he. They were in a quarterback. They were with a quarterback in the last year of his contract.
He had to wait.
Who they were not re-signing, and they knew they weren't re-signing him. They told him he wasn't going to be re-signed, and they knew he was taking over a year later.
But he had to wait. There's nothing wrong with it.
And oh, by the way,
think about the future.
He had to wait for a team that had won three straight AFC West titles. That's not the case for the Atlanta
well,
Falcons.
Well, no, that's true.
None of these situations are the same.
Well, I will say this.
We don't need to go back to this.
Mahomes. No, you're dying on this hill. Mahomes went to a winning situation.
Yes, one of the most favorable situations ever.
I totally agree with that. The only difference, though, is, and fundamentally, there is no difference. Andy Reid was like, okay, we're moving on from Alex Smith. Who the hell's going to be our quarterback? Hey, I got a kid you need to see at Texas Tech. Fundamentally, they went, oh, okay, we got to think about
but
the future.
But you're not moving on from Kirk Cousins in a year.
They didn't bring.
You're not moving on from Kirk Cousins in 2 years.
Yes, but as good as
and
Patrick...
Alex Smith is already under contract. You didn't just pay him $180 million. It's not the same situation at all.
It doesn't matter. You're caught up in the money. That's the going rate
no,
for,
I'm
for
caught,
doing business.
I'm caught up in the situation. The situation is here is that you have Kirk Cousins for 4 years. Two at worst if you want to get rid of him.
Two.
If you make the playoffs both years, how you benching Kirk Cousins? You're not.
Wait a minute. Didn't you just say Patrick Mahomes went to a playoff team and he got to start? That's how you make the right decision for the franchise moving forward. These are not that hard of questions, guys. I got to tell this is not that difficult.
No,
you
again,
had a guy
but again,
who went to a winning team and they're going to the playoffs and everybody
Kirk
says,
Cousins
you know what?
Was already here,
the guy that's
and
there,
in the last year of his deal.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter.
Doesn't matter.
It does.
It doesn't matter. You act like we're paying Kirk Cousins $200 million to go away. We won't, and they're not.
Okay.
It's not that big of a deal.
When this plays out, I'm going to come back and tell you I told you so and tap dance all over your face.
Now, that's a hill I'm going to die on.
Okay.
Now
that we're both dead on different hills.
Let me ask you, what's the deal with Raheem and you're saying you just don't want to see the mental mistakes and you think that's something he pressed?
I just, yeah.
He pressed in OTAs.
That much. It better come to fruition. Isn't that a measure of what kind of coach you are? If you can say this is what we do and then it happens, right?
I think the mental aspect is all that you can really push when
into
it comes
OTAs.
Yeah. That's what you're trying to, and you're trying to establish a culture, right? What's expected of everybody in the building, all my starters,
I think
et
he's got that already.
I do too.
I think he does. I think he genuinely does.
By the way,
he's got a lot of buy-in.
So with that said, you're excited. You're excited about it because I am.
There's no reason not to be excited. This is going to be a legitimate team. Again, 10 and wins. End the division.
Now we're talking, Zane.
That is not anything below that, in my mind, is what we would call a failure.
See, now you've come around. This is where I'm at. Exactly.
There's not really room for negotiation, if you ask me. Again, I said earlier, he does not get a first-year pass. There's not a first-year coach pass. Oh, well, it was his first year. You know, these kind of things. No.
I'm not.
This
well,
thing was ready-made for you. This is a Ferrari in the garage with the keys in the ignition.
The reason why I can't give him a pass is because when Arthur and Terry took this team over, we were in cap hell. And they couldn't do anything.
Right.
They absolutely couldn't
spend. They weren't in cap hell because they spent $180 million on a quarterback.
Now, after getting themselves out of that situation, you have an opportunity and you've set yourself up through drafting correctly. And I still think they've drafted correctly. I don't care what anybody says. Bijan was the right pick. I still think Penix is going to be great when it works out, however it works out. And you think about the only pick I have a concern about is Pitts.
I mean,
and by the way, some of you are like, man, he can play. Can he?
He can.
Well, can he show us?
I hope so. That's really what it boils down. We know he can play. It's a question of how much will he play, and will the production match the talent level and the position with which you drafted him?
Let me ask you something, because you're pretty fair. Okay, sometimes. Do you think that I'm being too difficult or too hard on Pitts?
No. He should, no. It's not his fault he was drafted.
Because I keep getting this.
No, it's not his fault he was drafted fourth. But he was drafted fourth, and the expectations that come with that overall, you want to be one of the best players in all of college football, and you get drafted that high, that comes with expectations, pal.
So
comes
you,
with a lot of money, too.
So you think I'm being fair?
I think you're 100% being fair.
I want you to say, Dukes, you're being fair.
Dukes, you're being fair.
Save that for me, because I want to play that for everybody who keeps saying, Dukes, you're being too harsh on this guy.
You are being very fair. What you are doing is measuring the situation for what it is. You're asking a fourth overall draft pick to live up to the expectation and the production that is associated with being one of the top five picks in all of college football. In a draft of 260 selections, you were considered the fourth best player in that draft by the measure of when you are drafted, because that's what the draft is. It's just it's a measure of your talent and your potential. So you have the most talent, the most potential going forward, and we expect you to produce a level. Has not lived up to those expectations for a bunch of different reasons. Fine, but that doesn't mean the expectations change. So if he would, and if he would like a contract, something some of these other guys are chirping about way too soon, you better ball out this year. And again, ball out comes in different directions, but it doesn't have to be, you know, a Gronk Kelce type season.
Winning.
Right, you have to be a viable part of the offense and a player that makes everybody else on team around you better. That gets Drake London open, that gets Bijan out of the backfield more, that draws double coverages, that catches third and six passes for 7 yards, right? You got to be that guy. So, you know, he's got the right quarterback. He's got all the positions in place. Hopefully he's healthy. Hopefully then he holds out. And if he does, I expect him to produce. We talked on Friday about the best bets that I had. I think Pitts goes over on both receiving and touchdowns, receiving yards and touchdowns. If he doesn't, something's gone wrong. And it's going to be an issue.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, this hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season. Coming up, he says, I'm not going to play until I got a new deal. And you won't believe what John Harbaugh said. That's on the way in our NFL Blitz. But first, with the Falcons starting camp on Wednesday, you said to me that you actually had an issue with something that you hope doesn't play out.
Right.
And I said, okay, well, what is that? Because I really don't have any issues at this point, except the fact that I want to see some of the guys we've been talking about, specifically on the defensive side, which we'll get a chance to do. And we will be your eyes and ears, guys. We'll bring you inside of Falcons training camp. Remember, this year, fans are not allowed to be there simply because of the construction and things that are going on. So we will be bringing you the latest interviews and all of the things here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What is your issue?
Well, it's not an issue per se, but it's just a trend. You know, I mean, look, I was out at all the OTAs and mini camp and everything else. And Dukes, you know me. I mean, I when it comes to pressing, you know, coaches and athletes for answers,
you go all in.
I don't hold back. So, and I say all that just to say that, like, I'm not afraid to press Raheem on things that he talks about, you know, and there's not really anything to talk about during OTAs and mini camp because nothing's really happening. But he kept regurgitating his same theme throughout every single time I had a chance to get in front of him. And that was about the mental part of the game, right? Because you can't hit during OTAs. There's not a lot of physicality. There's, you know, all this stuff is. So he kept preaching the mental game, the mental game. He talked so much about how guys were picking up the mental game and how much it mattered and everything else. If we come out at camp and I start hearing coaches talk about guys not being focused, that they're not picking things up, that, you know, that rookies and younger players or whatever were a new system for some of the veteran guys. Because remember, you got a new offensive system, you got a new defensive system, you got two new coordinators. So if you hear that, to me, that sets off an alarm bell. Like, you can't continue to preach about being mentally ready and then at all this time not have your guys mentally ready to play.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you saying you expect zero mistakes?
No, I don't expect zero mistakes. What I expect is a certain level of efficiency and crispness and you know, the coach to be sitting there lauding these guys for being well-prepared, right? Every football coach, and this goes back, you know, Dan Quinn always emphasized this, but every football coach tells you, you're going to make a mistake, make it fast, right? If you're going to do something wrong physically, do it fast, do it hard, yeah, you know, like yeah. go, you know, We can fix the – it's a lot easier for us to fix the, hey, you were in the wrong spot for this assignment than it is to, you got no heart, kid. Okay, you're not going full bore. We need you to go full bore. So I look at it from that standpoint. Guys are going to make mistakes, but the preparation level and given the experience of Raheem as a coach in general and the staff that he's put together feels like – and again, they have very little margin for error with me because this was set up, you know, in my opinion, it was taken away from Arthur Smith and given to him in a position that was optimal.
Wait a minute.
Very optimal.
Taken away?
It's taken away. I don't want to go back on that hill. I'm the only person left there.
Obviously. I mean, listen, do I feel like if Arthur had a quarterback that he'd still be here?
Of course.
I do.
Even Raheem said that.
He did. But
that's a convenient narrative.
but we're not there. We'll see you week one, Art. We're not there. Like, I get how you could have a legitimate argument about whether he should have gotten another year. But I also understand that this offense was abysmal. The things that sold this team, and certainly Arthur Smith or Arthur Blank on why to hire Arthur Smith, were not playing out. It's not like we weren't competitive. Zeno, you know this. We were in game.
Yes.
But the way that it felt was blah. I had no issues at the end of the day when the news hit that Arthur was not going to be here any longer. Did it suck? Yes. But you shouldn't die on that hill. Because, listen, this thing was not handed over to Raheem. He earned the opportunity.
I'm already dead on that hill multiple times over.
He earned the opportunity.
I'm not saying Raheem didn't earn it. Anyway, so my point is that.
And are you saying, was he set up for success?
Yes, more than any other, other head coaches ever get
this
to
job
be
was
set
attractive.
Up like this.
Yes,
I mean you signed a high level top 10 quarterback, which again never happens. Drafting another one, but anyway. So
what's wrong about thinking about the future?
Oh God, I don't want to have this argument again.
There's nothing wrong about thinking about the future.
I shouldn't have said it.
You know what?
I take
give
it
me
back.
The money you're putting in your 401k and give it to me, and don't think about the future.
I take it back.
No. Just live off your paycheck and give me the money you're putting in your 401k. I'll take it and use it.
I work in radio. There is no 401k.
Because you know what? You're not thinking about what this is going to be, what it's going to be for you in 10 or 15 years. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with what the Falcons did thinking about the future. So over this conversation
round picks are not the future. They're now. First round picks are now.
Was Jordan Love now?
First round pick.
Speaking of Mr. Jordan Love, you want to go? Was Jordan Love now? He had to wait, and he's great, and now he's asking to be paid.
Not the same thing. They traded back into the first round to get him after they already took. Yes.
No, he wasn't.
Yes,
he had to wait.
No, they were in a quarterback. They were with a quarterback in the last year of his contract.
He had to wait.
Who they were not re-signing, and they knew they weren't re-signing him. They told him he wasn't going to be re-signed, and they knew he was taking over a year later.
But he had to wait. There's nothing wrong with it.
And oh, by the way,
think about the future.
He had to wait for a team that had won three straight AFC West titles. That's not the case for the Atlanta
Falcons.
Well,
no, that's true.
None of these situations are the same.
Well, I will say this.
We don't need to go back to this.
Mahomes. No, you're dying on this hill. Mahomes went to a winning situation.
Yes, one of the most favorable situations ever.
I would totally agree with that. The only difference, though, is, and fundamentally, there is no difference. Andy Reid was like, okay, we're moving on from Alex Smith. Who the hell's going to be our quarterback? Hey, I got a kid you need to see at Texas Tech. Fundamentally, they went, oh, okay, we got to think about
but
the future.
But you're not moving on from Kirk Cousins in a year.
They didn't bring.
You're not moving on from Kirk Cousins in 2 years.
Yes, but as good
and
as
Alex Smith is already under contract. You didn't just pay him $180 million. It's not the same situation at all.
It doesn't matter. You're caught up in the money. That's the going rate doing business.
I'm caught up in the situation. The situation is here is that you have Kirk Cousins for 4 years. Two at worst if you want to get rid of him.
Two.
If you make the playoffs both years, how you benching Kirk Cousins? You're not.
Wait a minute. Didn't you just say Patrick Mahomes went to a playoff team and he got to start? That's how you make the right decision for the franchise moving forward. These are not that hard of questions, guys. I got to tell you, this is not that difficult.
No,
you
again,
had a guy
but again,
who went to a winning team and they're going to the playoffs and everybody
says,
you know what?
Was already here,
the guy that's
and
there,
in the last year of his deal.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter.
Doesn't matter.
It does.
It doesn't matter. You act like we're paying Kirk Cousins $200 million to go away. We won't, and they're not.
Okay.
It's not that big of a deal.
When this plays out, I'm going to come back and tell you I told you so and tap dance all over your face.
Now, that's a hill I'm going to die on.
Okay.
Now
that we're both dead on different hills.
Let me ask you, what's the deal with Raheem and you're saying you just don't want to see the mental mistakes and you think that's something he pressed?
It better come to fruition. Isn't that a measure of what kind of coach you are? If you can say this is what we do and then it happens, right?
I think the mental aspect is all that you can really push when
into
it comes
to OTAs. Yeah.
That's what you're trying to, and you're trying to establish a culture, right? What's expected of everybody in the building, all my starters,
I think he's got that already.
I do too.
I think he does. I think he genuinely does.
By the way,
he's got a lot of buy-in.
So with that said, you're excited. You're excited about it. Because I am.
There's no reason not to be excited. This is going to be a legitimate team. Again, 10 and wins and the division.
Now we're talking, Zeno.
That is not anything below that, in my mind, is what we would call a failure.
See, now you've come around. This is where I'm at. Exactly.
There's not really room for negotiation, if you ask me. Again, I said it repeatedly. He does not get a first-year pass. There's not a first-year coach pass. Oh, well, it was his first year. You know, these kind of things. No,
This thing
was ready-made for you. This is a Ferrari in the garage with the keys in the ignition.
The reason why I can't give him a pass is because when Arthur and Terry took this team over, we were in cap hell, and they couldn't do anything.
Right.
They absolutely couldn't spend.
They weren't in cap hell because they spent $180 million on a quarterback.
Now, after getting themselves out of that situation, you have an opportunity, and you've set yourself up through drafting correctly, and I still think they've drafted correctly. I don't care what anybody says. Bijan was the right pick. I still think Penix it's going to be great when it works out, however it works out. And you think about the only pick I have a concern about is Pitts.
I mean,
and by the way, some of you are like, man, he can play. Can he? He can. Well, can he show us?
I hope so. That's really what it boils down. We know he can play. It's a question of how much will he play, and will the production match the talent level and the position with which you drafted him?
Let me ask you something, because you're pretty fair. Okay, sometimes. Do you think that I'm being too difficult or too hard on Pitts?
No. He should. It's not his fault he was drafted.
Because I keep getting this.
No, it's not his fault he was drafted fourth. But he was drafted fourth, and the expectations that come with that overall, you want to be one of the best players in all of college football, and you get drafted that high, that comes with expectations, pal.
So comes with
a lot of money, too.
So you think I'm being fair?
I think you're 100% being fair.
I want you to say, Dukes, you're being fair.
Dukes, you're being fair.
Save that for me, because I want to play that for everybody who keeps saying, Dukes, you're being too harsh on this guy.
You are being very fair. What you are doing is measuring the situation for what it is. You're asking a fourth overall draft pick to live up to the expectation and the production that is associated with being one of the top five picks in all of college football. In a draft of 260 selections, you were considered the fourth best player in that draft by the measure of when you are drafted, because that's what the draft is. It's a measure of your talent and your potential. So you have the most talent, the most potential going forward, and we expect you to produce at a level. Has not lived up to those expectations for a bunch of different reasons. Fine, but that doesn't mean the expectations change. So if he would like a contract, something some of these other guys are chirping about way too soon, you better ball out this year. And again, ball out comes in different directions, but it doesn't have to be, you know, a Gronk, Kelsey type season.
Affect winning.
Right. You have to be a viable part of the offense and a player that makes everybody else on team around you better. That gets Drake London open, that gets Bijan out of the backfield more, that draws double coverages, that catches 3rd-and-6 passes for 7 yards, right? You got to be that guy. So, you know, he's got the right quarterback. He's got all the positions in place. Hopefully he's healthy. Hopefully then he holds out. And if he does, I expect him to produce. We talked on Friday about the best bets that I had. I think Pitts goes over on both receiving and touchdowns, receiving yards and touchdowns. If he doesn't, something's gone wrong. And it's going to be an issue, because if you don't have a tight end in this offense, your offense becomes predictable. The way this offense runs is all about options and weapons, which is why the Falcons did what they did. It's why Drake London is here. It's why Bijan Robinson is here. It's why they were picked in back-to-back drafts, because guess what? We need guys that defenses have to stay up all night worrying about. They have them, and they got a quarterback now that you got to worry about, so all this theoretically should fall into place. If it doesn't, it's on Raheem, and it's on Zach, and they got to figure it out.
I'm so glad you made me feel better. 404-726-0929. You can hit us up. You can text us as well. Follow Zeno. Give him your social media handle.
At Mark Zeno. Yes, if you don't like me, you can tweet me and tell me. I won't be offended.
Well, people do. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. Follow us. Dukes and Bell 929. And follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Mike's out. Zeno's in today. Coming up, John Harbaugh lays down what he expects Lamar Jackson to do. Wait until you hear it next.